This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I'm just very thankful for the platform that God has given me and the opportunity to be a quarterback for, you know, the Denver Broncos. What a great organization.
This administration's war on religion is what bothers me greatly.
All we're really seeing here right now is a very modest attempt from the Obama administration to put some controls on how some government money is spent when it flows to religious organizations.
When Massachusetts drives Catholic adoption services out of the state, there's something fundamentally violating religious liberty.
And when we worship, we're receiving things from him. It might seem like a kind of a selfishness or an arrogance to Rick Warren, but it's exactly how the Bible gives it to us. God is the giver, and we are on the receiving end of his gift.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It might mystify you. Maybe you just skip over this stuff. You don't know what to do with it. If you hold to a low view of baptism, the baptism of Jesus is really going to be a head scratcher, isn't it? It just doesn't make any sense. If you stop and think about what the actual account says of this baptism, John the Baptist's baptism, and this Jesus, the two don't go together. They should never go together. In fact, that's what John says when Jesus comes to be baptized. He doesn't see how the two fit together. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins for a guy who John knows needs no repentance because he has no sins and needs no forgiveness. You should be baptizing me, and yet you come to me? He doesn't understand it. And I imagine if you don't understand what Scripture teaches about baptism, then you're just going to be kind of stuck standing there wet in the water with John the Baptist scratching your head, never understanding why it is Jesus comes to the water of the Jordan to be baptized with a bunch of sinners who are repenting and getting their sins forgiven. We're going to be reviewing a sermon on the baptism of Jesus on this Wednesday afternoon, the 11th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Our sermon review will run about a half hour. Then, the sermon doesn't run a half hour, but the sermon review will run a half hour. Then we'll be joined by Pastor Burnell Eckert, editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. We're going to talk about what he calls the virtue of overstatement, or maybe Christian overstatement and the statement of the truth. He has an example of overstatement that he thinks may be a good guide for us when we speak the truth in love. A little bit later after that, in the second hour, Dr. Doug Grotheis will be our guest. We're going to talk with him about the worldview of someone you've probably seen on the cover of the magazines, on television when they're running through the clips of famous people. She catches your eye. She's spangly. She's bright. She's usually elevated, well, sometimes a couple feet off the air, I mean off the floor in high heels. She's a combination of Elton John and Madonna and a circus clown, and she sings. Her name is Lady Gaga, but she has a worldview and a message in her music that we will examine in the second hour of the program. Dr. Doug Grotheis of Denver Seminary will be our guest. Whenever we review sermons, good, bad, or ugly, we use the same diagnostic, the same little tool that we recommend to you whenever you listen to a sermon every Sunday. It's a simple three-part diagnostic, and all it will tell you, it doesn't tell you everything, but all it will tell you is, has the preacher preached Christ and him crucified for you for the forgiveness of sins? Which is, by the way, the primary and indispensable purpose of Christian preaching. What do I mean by that, primary and indispensable? First of all, it is the reason for which Christ has sent the church to proclaim its message into the world. That is to proclaim, as Christ says, in Luke's gospel, the forgiveness, repentance, and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So Jesus' purpose in sending the church into the world preaching is to preach him, repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name through his death and his resurrection. That's what I mean by primary. And when I mean indispensable, I mean the church is not at liberty, no preacher, no matter how gifted, no matter how bright, no matter what he thinks he's got to do on a Sunday morning, is at liberty to dispense with the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the crucified and risen Christ's name for some other message. So it's the primary and indispensable purpose of Christian preaching. It should be what fills our pulpits and our ears every Sunday morning. From whatever text the pastor is preaching, as one of my seminary professors was fond of saying, and many have said and repeated, to pastors, there should be blood all over your sermon. The blood of Christ shed at the cross for sinners. Now, that brings us to our diagnostic. Part one is simple. How many times is Jesus mentioned? You keep a running tally of how many times you hear specifically Jesus, not just a vague reference to the deity or to God. That's all over most preaching, but we're talking about, is the preacher talking about Jesus specifically, and how often is Jesus mentioned? Actually count the times you can do it. And you know what? When you do this, it actually helps you listen for the mention of Jesus in the sermon, because we all get lazy as listeners, and sometimes we get to the end of the sermon, and if you stop and you think about it, you realize, wait, the preacher hasn't even mentioned Jesus yet. He's talked a lot about this, that, or the other. He showed us pictures of his vacation and the grandkids and the kittens that they have at the house, but I don't think I've heard anything about Jesus. That's a crime, folks. That's a crime. Now, if Jesus is mentioned numerous times, that is, if Jesus, if your tally sheet runs into the 10 and the 20s, because Jesus is all over the sermon as he should be, not just one time, not just honorable mention, not just at the end of the sermon, let's pray in Jesus' name or ask Jesus into your heart, whatever your preacher says. But if Jesus is specifically all over the sermon, then go on to part two. And that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is he the one that the preacher is talking about him doing the action of the sentences he uses in his sermon? Is he running the verbs, doing the doing that is you're being told about in the sermon? It's a grammatical question, but it's an important theological question as well, because preachers can mention Jesus a lot, but as the object of the sentence rather than the subject of the sentence, where the one doing the doing isn't Jesus, but you. And then the preacher isn't preaching Christ, is he? He's preaching you, or himself, or, as I say, preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. And if Jesus is mentioned often, he is the subject of the verbs, then go on to part three of the diagnostic, and that is, specifically, what are the verbs? Is this the Jesus of pop psychology? The Jesus who is there to affirm you, to pat you on the back, to motivate you, to inspire you, to coach you through life, to be your example? Pastor Kuhlman, by the way, is going to deal with that in the course of this sermon. The example, Jesus, doesn't save you. Or is this the Jesus of Holy Scripture? And the verbs that he does are the verbs of living a life in substitution for yours, never sinning, being obedient for you, laying down his life for you, suffering, dying, bleeding for you, dying and rising again for you. Those are the verbs you want to listen for in a truly Christ-centered and cross-focused sermon. Let's see if this one meets the criteria. It's preached on Sunday for the baptism of Jesus by Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, there he is. 30-year-old Jesus in the Jordan River, baptized by John. Now, what's the lesson here? What's the point? Well, most preachers today would say this. Jesus doesn't get baptized till he's an adult. Therefore, you can only be baptized as an adult. No children allowed. And so it's time for you all to be obedient. Wait until you're an adult to be baptized. In fact, you might as well wait until you're 30 years old, just like who? Jesus. Wow, that's it? Is that the point of this scripture passage? Jesus baptized in the Jordan only to give you an example to follow. Is that it? To give you an opportunity to show how obedient you are? Oh, really? That's all Jesus is for? Jesus as example? If so, then you'd better get your imitation of Christ cranked up just like his. And it better be perfect. That's not good news, is it? In fact, it's really bad news. That kind of cracking the whip, get in line by following example Jesus, doesn't cut it when it comes to salvation. Example Jesus is not a Jesus that you can live with or die with. Example Jesus is always accusing Jesus. Example Jesus is always like the character Evil Monkey on the animated TV show Family Guy, always popping out of the closet and pointing his finger, you remember it, Chris, and you! Always frightening Chris, and you! Forever revealing your shortcomings, that you are not following the example Jesus has set. And so, he always has to be disappointed and angry with you.
We'll take a break when we come back. Well, I mean, I think that's what I would call getting straight to the point. Why is Jesus there being baptized? If it is only as an example, well then, good old example of Jesus. Not only doesn't do anything for you, he actually works actively against you. As I've said many times, if Jesus is primarily our example, then he is the example that damns us all. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing a sermon on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 11th, preached on the occasion this last Sunday of the baptism of Jesus. Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska has taken us directly into the heart of the law, which is always a good place to go first in our sermon to show us our sin. And he is using none other than Jesus to do it, the Jesus that is example. Because a sinless Jesus, as an example to you, does nothing but accuse. A sinless Jesus who is nothing but example for you will be the example that will eventually accuse you to death and damnation. So, I'm assuming he's going to say here pretty soon, that's not what Jesus is doing, being baptized for us, merely giving us an example to follow. But you'll notice already, with regard to our diagnostic, this is a great example of how it's not hard for a preacher to go straight to Jesus. I lost track. I was trying to keep a simple running tally, and I lost track of how often Pastor Kuhlman has mentioned Jesus already in this sermon. Now, has he gotten to those verbs by which Jesus saves us? Not yet. Remember, he's preaching the gospel. So when he talks about our sin, Jesus, boy, if you want Jesus lawgiver, you're going to get it full force. He makes Moses look like a schoolgirl when it comes to the proclamation and laying the law before our very eyes, because Moses was a sinner, condemned under the law, but Jesus is sinless. And when he speaks the law, he speaks it with the authority of God himself. So, with this said, let's go on with our sermon review, The Baptism of Jesus, by Pastor Brent Kuhlman.
Now, I have a better Jesus to preach to you today, a totally different Jesus who is good news for you today. Baptized Jesus in the Jordan is not example Jesus, but gift Jesus. He receives John's baptism in order to give you the gift of salvation. Here's how gift Jesus works. The 30-year-old begins his public ministry here at the Jordan. And where will his ministry culminate? In other words, where is he heading right from the start? Oh, that's right, the cross. To do a Good Friday and an empty tomb, his ministry to Calvary publicly begins here at the Jordan. Do you get it now? Jesus comes to the Jordan River not expecting you to follow his example, but to do something for you. I repeat, to do a Jordan River for you. It's all about his giving. His doing for you. Check it out. It's simply amazing. It's stunning. It's comforting. Right off the bat, please note that John's Jordan River baptism is for sinners. And loads of sinners are baptized in this river, receiving a bath from John, getting all their sins off their chest, their backside, their feet, their hands, or wherever, and leaving it all behind in the water. The text says, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to John, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him. The Jordan River is like grimy, grubby bathwater, polluted with all these sinners' sin. From all these sinners being baptized by John. Now, since their sin is in the water, the river is toxic, it is poisonous, it is noxious, it's contaminated. And that's when Jesus shows up. That's when Jesus hops right in, feet first, then up to his waist. Oh, heck, look, it's up to his neck. This is pretty dicey. Doesn't he know how dangerous it is to get into that septic water? Where's the EPA? Where in the world is OSHA to stop this from happening? Good grief. He's wallowing in all that sin, all that filthy, rotten, deadly, deviant decay. It's hazardous to anyone's health. In fact, it's malignant. Not even Bear Grylls, host of Man vs. Wild, would attempt to survive in skull and crossbones water like this. But there he is. Armpit deep in it, chin deep in it, soaking in it all through his pores, in every nook and cranny of his holy body. Doesn't he know that sin kills, and that absorbing all of this sin will kill him? Now do you get it? Yes, that's right. He gets in the water on purpose. This is all by design. He wants to absorb all this deep, dark, black, and deadly sin in the Jordan so that he can do what? Carry it somewhere. And where would that somewhere be? Yes, that's right. Calvary, the cross, where bearing all this sin and the sin of the world as well as yours, he who knew no sin will be made sin. Beginning at his baptism in the Jordan and then culminating at the cross, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Take a break here just to note something. I was saying this actually to the guys in the studio while we were listening. And how often does a pastor just waste your time from the pulpit? I mean, just thoughtlessly waste your time. Be honest. I mean, you've heard bad preaching before, where you're just like, why am I sitting here listening to this? Because he's telling you anecdotes, he's giving you a little life lesson, something to make you go, something to think about, waste of time. He's giving you advice. Or, and here's my point, he's telling you jokes. You know, Joel Osteen's famous for always starting with a joke. And you know how it's going to go. He's got a joke, it's got a punchline, there's going to be a laugh, and then they do the Bible creed. Very predictable. Now, you will notice something. I am not against humor in preaching, because we have great examples from Holy Scripture of humor in preaching. And I think this is a great example of how pastors, if they sit down and actually do the work, can have, and it's already been in here twice, I've laughed out loud twice during this sermon, but he didn't tell any jokes, did he? No. This is what you call a winsome way of preaching the gospel, where he doesn't have to tell you a joke. There doesn't have to be a snare drum in the back telling you when to laugh, or in the case of most pastors' jokes, when to groan. I think it's a great example of that. It doesn't have to be this starched and staid and creased and pressed wooden delivery. Can actually be engaging. And I think the word there is winsome. This is a good example of it.
Jesus is given to you and me as gift for sinners to take all sin and your sin in his body fully and completely, and then to forevermore answer for its hellish punishments. And this is in your place. His Good Friday sacrifice satisfies and placates God's wrath against you and all your sin by taking it in his body in order to endure the damnation that it deserves. Your sin now belongs to Jesus. He comes to the Jordan River to take it, to soak it up, and it does. It does kill him. But that's precisely the point. He steps into the Jordan because he begins his ministry, his once for all sin atoning shed blood for you on the cross death. This ministry of Jesus is for you and for your salvation. This is precisely then why heaven breaks wide open as Jesus comes up out of the water. This is exactly why we hear the Father declare, "Do you see that man coming out of the Jordan? Ah, that's my boy. He's my beloved son. I couldn't be happier with him. Absolutely delighted with him." Beginning his ministry in this way, the salvation for sinners way, I give my wholehearted approval to that. And for such a ministry, Son of God, bearing the sin of the world, Jesus then is equipped. He is anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in the form of the dove. He is anointed with the Holy Spirit. This means that he's truly the anointed one, the very promised messianic servant king, the king who lives not for himself, like all of the Israelite kings of the past, but the king who gives his life into death for his people and their salvation, and for your salvation. Jesus in the Jordan, then, gift Jesus with all your sin in his body, Jesus. That's a Jesus that you can not only live with, but you can even die with that kind of Jesus. For with him you're forgiven. After all, he's taken all your sin. Your sins don't belong to you anymore. He's covered you with his blood. He's wrapped you in his righteousness, and you are baptized into Christ Jesus, and therefore you are baptized into his Good Friday death, the only death that counts for your sin. You are buried with Jesus through baptism into death, death to and for all sin, so that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too can now live a new life. And how do you spell that new life? How do you spell it? It's spelled F-A-I-T-H, faith in Jesus, Jordan River, and Good Friday, gift Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Well, that's the sermon. I'm going to chalk that up. I mean, it is an occasional sermon because it goes in the category of that feast, the baptism of Jesus. But I would chalk that up as probably, and I've listened to a lot of them, folks, on these airwaves, of the good and the bad and the ugly. I would chalk that up as probably one of the better of in the best category. I would. Why? For precisely the reason that we set forth at the beginning of this hour. The sermon was not about you, it was about Jesus. Insofar as you were mentioned, you were in a pretty dire predicament because of your sin, but along comes Jesus to do all those verbs that save you. It's a good preaching. Very good preaching. When we come back, we're going to talk about Christian overstatement and speaking the truth with Pastor Bernell Eckert.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.